Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, it's Dr. Eve inside the studio today. It's October 10th at 3:01 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're really excited today to be back inside the studio. We've been really, really going through some aftermath of Matthew here in our area. You know, Matthew has made his way up the coast, tearing up and just cutting up. We have no control over Mother Nature, and we are in fact under some immediate threats in terms of flooding. The rivers are looking to crest at about 26 feet on tomorrow, so we still have another 24 to 48 hours to go before we really realize that the ultimate manifestation of Matthew. So we have homes and underwater. We have people displaced, and we have outages and rescue underway. And so we're just thankful for all the people on the ground who have seen their neighbors, who are their neighbor's keeper, and who are making things. Show Me 15 is a campaign that's been blazing the trail around our country to raise the wages of those who have been suffering at $7.25 an hour for the last 9 years. Yesterday we started our discussions about we continued the discussions on yesterday as we talked about the origin. We talked about, had a chance to talk about one of the citizens who joined the conversation on yesterday to give, other variables that we should consider as it relates to Show Me 15 and what the impact of that's going to look like on businesses, what that's going to look like in terms of the economy, what's that going to look like in terms of the prices in these fast food restaurants. We know that these things will happen, but we have to be prepared and we have to make conscious decisions as to whether we're concerned about the fast food meal that we probably shouldn't care much about over humanity, which is the livelihood of our brothers and sisters. And when I say that, I am sincerely thinking about all of my brothers and sisters, because when I think about the demographics of the fast food worker, my lens is very clear and concise about those demographics. The demographics of a fast food worker can range anywhere from a high school student, a high school dropout, to a high school student, to a high school graduate, to a college student, a college graduate, a discriminated against a person who was discriminated against by age, a person who lacked the soft skills in a climate, a person who went through a downsizing. So there are so many variables that we have to consider when we think about it, and we can't be selfish. We can't be selfish in the way we think about this, because we have to really think outside the box. I think a lot of people are just, immediately rushing to judgment. when it comes to the topic. And I think it's very, very important that we open ourselves up to what's really going on. What are those demographics? And why should they even matter when we're talking about $7.25 an hour? That's half of what we what the cost of living is right now. That's half. That's half of what is expected per hour for the cost of living. Things have continuously been rising. The price of things have continues to rise. The cost of things continue to rise, but the wages for the minimum wage employee never rose. And that's something that we must consider. Okay, so one of the conversations on yesterday leaned towards, why can't the government, subsidize so that we can get relief also for the business owner who will be impacted by the small business owner who's doing fast food, who will be impacted by this these victories as well, because some of them are shutting down. That was one of the things that one of my callers mentioned on yesterday about the research as it related to in some of these areas that small businesses are having to close because now they're having to being forced to pay their employees what they're worth. But because small business was not ready, brought about some level of insecurity, financial insecurity in terms of maintaining operations. Now, when we speak of government subsidization, that is a solution that we could certainly visit. I mean, when we think about the number of businesses that have been rescued, even during times of recession, I can remember billions of dollars were poured into federal and private and defunded agencies to assure that we kept making cars or we kept making this or that. And the government stepped in and provided subsidization for those companies to maintain at optimal levels and for the economy to continue to flourish. Why can that not be an option for us at this point? We're going to be looking at some of the some of the victories that are going on around the country, and we're also going to talk a little bit more about testimonials of the individuals who have endured some of the fast food working conditions and situations and some of their concerns. This is Dr. Eve inside the studio. Thank you for joining us. It is 3:08, and we're going to take a commercial break. Okay, and we're back, and we're going to be talking a little bit about, give an update on what's going on around the country. Last week, we saw two significant victories for working people in the U.S. The nation's capital voted to raise the minimum wage to $15 per hour for all workers. Mayor Muriel Bowser said of the measure, "I see how much it costs to live in Washington, D.C., and the cost is only going up. For now, the increases will be phased in, and the wage will stay tied to inflation after hitting $15. In Durham County, North Carolina, voted to pay all full-time city employees $15 an hour and is looking for ways to do the same for part-time workers. Civil rights leaders and community organizations have supported the fight for $15 all along, and this win wouldn't be possible without them." Come more context can be found here. And we are talking about the Show Me 15 campaign, but what I'm seeing in the news and hearing about the campaign is a lot of the $15 instead of approvals and wins are occurring with city employees now. This fight began with the fast food worker. So what are we doing about the fast food worker? If the campaign was initially about those, that pathway to move on individuals who are suffering as a result of $7.25, what are we doing for those who are currently working in fast food? Mashonda Moore says, "I'm making $40 but I'm not making anything. I get paid on Monday, and then Tuesday, I don't even have enough to buy a sandwich at my own job. If it wasn't for public assistance, I would starve. Working at a multi-billion dollar restaurant, I'm doing this because I've been working at my job for a year, and I've been busting my butt, but I don't make enough money to even afford to eat at my own job." Wow. That's major, folks. I mean, these are the testimonies. These are the stories of the individuals who are on the ground and striking. Yesterday, they were back at it again, striking in St. Louis, striking the Burger King. There was a McDonald's. There were several fast food locations right there in that immediate area that were really powering up to make moves on the cities right there in St. Louis. These campaigns continue to blaze the trail so that we can bring about the awareness of what people are actually doing. Now, how in the world can we expect individuals to work so hard and not be eligible to eat at their own jobs? Now, an important note to her comment was, if it wasn't for public assistance, she would starve. Now, you also know that we look at the systems of social systems of America and how they were designed. And, you know, anytime you go to sign up for any type of social assistance, you got to give them your arm, your leg, and the daddy's in child support if they're not married, you know, to them. So that creates a whole nother issue of structural violence within families as a result of receiving benefits for someone who literally works hard every day, works hard every single day. And if it wasn't for public assistance like food stamps or perhaps even medical insurance, then they would not compensate. This person would not be able to survive. Now, I know that I've heard this said over and over and over again. Well, they should just go get back to school and get in pursuit of higher education and work really hard, and they'll have the American dream. And it's a lie, folks. I'm here to tell you why. Because, again, I am a PhD-holding individual, several degrees, because you know that's what you can't have one without the other. And across many disciplines, I've worked 30 years And I too was not valued. I was not valued by my employers. And, you know, people make the decisions. What I know about big businesses, they can make the decisions that they want to make. They can do exactly what they want to do, when they want to do it, for whomever they want to do it. I am above the smoke and screams as it relates to what America can or cannot do. Listen up, folks. Here's a comment from another worker. I've worked at McDonald's for 3 years. Three. And I make $7.60, 35 to 40 hours a week. We have workers coming to work hungry because they're living paid these low wages. We work for companies that make millions and billions of dollars while we make dollars and cents. They can afford to pay us $15 an hour with the right to form a union without retaliation. McDonald's can afford to pay us $15 an hour. We can save and invest in our children's lives. Now, that's a mouthful, because we're not just talking about a small business. We're talking about a multi-billion dollar empire that is located in every city, in every state, in every country, on every continent. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. While the rich get richer, the oppression continues. It's not fair, folks. It's not fair by any stretch of the imagination that people who are working in these fast food restaurants are paid such low wages. Whenever we worked in corporate America, healthcare, academia, no matter where we worked, we always received cost of living raise. Well, the minimum wage hasn't been raised in 9 years. What excuse do we have for that? What excuse do we have for this type of mistreatment? Or are we simply repressing the fact that we haven't done enough and that maybe it'll just go away? Maybe if we don't think about it, it'll just go away until it affects your family. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Eve. From Zeta Guadarez says, there aren't really other opportunities beyond fast food. We need to unite and work together to improve things for all of us, not just one of us. With our union, we can fight for our rights and help other people. And that brings the conversation to the importance of unions. And I know people, there's been a lot of discussion about unions, and people really don't like to see unions coming because they're somewhere on the backdrop fighting for the rights of people. But at the same time, who does the union, who's the union working for? Who controls the union? And I think that's a good topic of discussion for me, because I've heard a lot of things, and I'm kind of concerned about the things that go on behind the scenes. So let's talk about a labor union. A labor union is an organization that is intended to represent the collective interest of workers in negotiations with employers over wages, hours, benefits, and working conditions. Labor unions are often industry specific and tend to be more common in manufacturing, mining, construction, transportation, and the public sector. So it seems we've crossed some lines, but rightfully so, because we're still talking about wages and hours and benefits and working conditions. All of these are the concerns of the employees who work in these fast food restaurants. Marquise Lambert says, I have children. My primary focus is taking care of them. We are fighting for our children's future. If we don't fight right now, what's to ensure our children don't go through the same thing when they get older? We have to come together in this fight because I am not the only father raising two young daughters on just above minimum wage. Show Me 15 gives us a voice to talk about a fair wages for our families and to build as a community. Now, Marquise put the nail on the head. We are fighting for our children's future. If we don't fight right now, what's to ensure our children don't go through the same thing when they get older? That's my heart of hearts right there, because we're talking about legacy and the importance of building a legacy for your family. And this is my fight, whether it's Show Me 15, whether it's it doesn't matter, just the rights of humanity to be independent, the rights of humanity, people to be independent thinkers, the rights of individuals to be able to thrive in our society, not just survive, but to strive and thrive, you know, and the only way that we can do that is we have to have opportunity. But what happens when you have the structural violence that exists in our culture of oppression and you are not giving, you're not valued, and all lives matter, including Black lives? We're talking about a campaign. But I can't get away from what's important to me as an individual as well. And with the suffrage that we have endured over time, as it relates to our culture, I would suggest that we'd have to send some people back to the drawing board as it relates to cultural sensitivity. Because I had a conversation with a young person today, and the young people that I've been chatting with are on target, and they amaze me every single day when I hear their voices and the concerns and their fights and plights of what's important to them and how adults view them. So let's talk about that. How are the adults viewing the discussions of the young people? Are we simply telling them to do as I say, not as I do? Are we simply telling them to get somewhere and sit down? Are we telling them, speak when you're spoken to? What messages are we sending to them when this is their reality? you know, what are we leaving for the children? Where is the legacy? What are we teaching them? And how much, if the parents aren't out here, if we never had a Show Me 15 campaign, and they're not out here appropriately demonstrating how you stand up for yourself, then what should we be doing? Should we take this thing lightly and go somewhere and sit down and just allow this to continue and repress, which causes the anxiety and depression and regression, or should I say retreatism, which causes, which forces alcoholism and substance abuse and mind-altering, find ways to deal with, because there are many who aren't resilient to the situation. When I think of a male, males are less likely to be resilient than women, because women were born to be able to withstand the test of time. You know, but then we have the pride. We have the pride of the male ego, which says that we can't be shut down this way, and their emotions are less likely to be shown. But you have them fighting now. They're out here fighting and saying, hey, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. We have a right. We have a right. And in order for us to pursue or to put some respect on us as human beings, then we have to have the right to peacefully protest in situations like this. We're talking about Show Me 15, the need to campaign, the need to raise the wages, some of the stories behind the campaign, some of the heartfelt opinions of those who are affected by Show Me 15 or affected by the low wages. The low wages, and we're going to be talking about this topic. I'm going to be inviting some special guests to have some conversations with us about the Show Me 15 campaign, some of the workers. We're lining up those shows in future days to come, but we're going to be talking about this thing because it's blazing the trail and very, very important for us to continue the discussions. It helps us to truly understand the things that are going on around our nation as it relates to the protests that are going on because Black Lives Matter. And because it does matter, and because we're dealing constantly with the abuse and social injustices, that there's such a tie-in for all of these topics, and you can't talk about one without talking about the other. Although it may seem like rambling, you know, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And that's, I can't leave out one thing, one single thing, as it relates to this campaign or our people or the needs and right to protest and the needs and rights for people to be paid fairly and to be treated fairly. And let's build legacy. We're going to be talking tomorrow about legacy building as it relates to independency and some solutions that we may have to move in a different direction. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Dr. Eve Angel Savage, your social enterprise strategist, right here on The Dr. Eve Show. We thank you for joining us and be back tomorrow at the same time, same place, right here at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on The Dr. Eve Show. Thank you for joining, and have yourselves a great day.